Going to be time sensitive this morning, had some important things in the service. I do have something that I think is probably going to be two messages. But I do have something I really feel this morning that is for us. I've told you many times and repeat this morning that I give a lot of thought to what is the right thing. Been preaching enough years and reading the Bible, don't mean this to sound arrogant in any way, but I can probably come up with a four-point outline from most chapters. You know, I think many of you could do that too. Don't want to do that. I want to be guided to the Spirit. I think that each Sunday is unique. We'll never again live September 22nd, 2013. We'll never be assembled just like this with this mix. The music, the preparation of the heart. I don't know all that goes on in the spiritual realm, but I do know that God moves when we ask Him to. And we certainly do. I say it with no apologies. We do our homework there on asking God to be with us and speak through us. I'm not a strong enough person to lead a congregation, to lead a ministry, and now God's given us this overseas outreach too, to add to what we're doing. And I'm not a strong enough man to do that. But God has spoken to us of what our direction is to be, what our new season is to be, and given us the opportunity to bear His word. And so we're going to just do that a week at a time and give it our best. But I want to encourage you to pray a brave prayer this morning. And that prayer is, Lord, show me my heart. I say that's a brave prayer. We first come to Jesus and receive salvation. We come to Him, we accept Him, born again, there's lots of names for it. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9 says, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's not willing any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We come to Christ and receive salvation. But then the journey of surrender begins. And to complete that journey, our heart must be revealed. I personally think that churches are packed all across America with people that have never, ever begun or certainly completed that journey. I think churches are full of people who initially came to Christ and they were moved by the whole thing that God could forgive them and free of guilt, and that sounds like a great package. But there's a lot more that God wants for us and wants us to be and become. It's a journey to surrender. And to complete that journey, our heart must be revealed. We can't surrender unless we know what's in our heart. So we come to Christ and then He begins walking us through this process of revealing what's really in here. Who the real me is. And the reason I say to you that it's a brave prayer is because for God to reveal that, sometimes He's got to squeeze you. He's got to squeeze you to make that, oh boy, that popped open. Sometimes He's got to put the squeeze, often He has to put the squeeze on us. I've shared with you the story many times, not going to tell the whole story. But I shared with you the story as a young man, struggled terrible with anger as a young man. And I was praying, Lord, I had come to the Lord, I accepted, I had a marvelous conversion, the Lord came into my life, no question about it, broke ties with the things of the past, and was very serious about being a disciple early on. But the road to surrender began. And for me to take that trip, some things had to be exposed. And honestly, I was mystified why I would be so angry so quickly. And God allowed me to get into a couple of situations where that anger was revealed. I've told you about the time that I took a hold of the guy at Kroger's and almost lost my job. And I was leading Bible studies in my home at that time. And we had 30-some people in our home over here on 450 North. And I was active in the church. And I grabbed a hold of this guy and pushed him up against the wall. Now, he wasn't innocent, but I had absolutely no right to do that. And I was sick over that. I was dreadfully sick over that. I was physically sick over it. And felt I had totally destroyed my testimony, only to realize afterwards that God had allowed that incident in my life to bring something out to reveal what was going on down here. Because after I did that and almost lost my job and had to go humbly apologize to everyone and needed to, I began saying, Lord, what is wrong? Why is this? And by the exposure of that thing, God revealed to me that I had bitterness toward my older brother and my father. And that was fueling me all the time. And I know this works. That's why I can preach on it with passion. Because when those issues were worked out with my brother and dad, that anger melted away. And maybe I'll get tested on that this week, but it takes a lot to get me aggravated. Pam, I think, would say that. You have to push me a long time to get me aggravated. It just doesn't happen. It's changed, and that's not about me. I'm saying 2 Corinthians 5:17, you're a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away. All things become new. God wants to make us new. It's fantastic to come to Christ and confess your sins and receive salvation. But my friend, then the journey to surrender begins. And that can sometimes be a painful journey. And that is why I say, I encourage you to pray a brave prayer. What's in your heart? What's motivating you? Where does your spark originate? What is that spark? I think to grow in the Lord and to minister to others, many of you are interested in being involved in ministry of some kind. I think we're a little bit unusual there as a church in that we have a lot of people that really want to pedal the bicycle. They really want to go somewhere with this. But I think that we have to understand ourselves. We can give a degree of help to others, and we certainly offer them God's powerful and cleansing word. But I think there's a lot to be said for coming to grips and understanding yourself. And when you connect with yourself and your head and heart get connected, you can be far more effective. I found that the more I'm connected, the more real I am and the more honest I am. Painful journey. What's in your heart? What is it that motivates you? What is your core directive I have there? Your directive can be lots of things. Let's explore that a little bit. What's your core directive? Your directive can be selfishness, self-centeredness, without even realizing it. You can be very earnest and sincere about serving the Lord, but there's a huge issue with self-centeredness and putting yourself first. My friend, that has to be revealed to deal with it. That has to be exposed. Can you handle this? Sometimes it's exposed by our spouse. The person that lives with us sees us every day. Our spouse. Sometimes in the midst of an argument or a fight, the statement will come out, I basically think you're selfish. Ouch! I said it's a painful journey. Got a short here somewhere. Don't let that distract you. The devil would just love for you not to listen right now. He'd just love for you not to listen right now. Don't pay attention to him. What's your core directive? It can be self-promotion, desire for attention. We had a person a few years ago in our ministry. Never said anything to anybody, but I always just felt that this person wanted attention. That there was something inside. And you got to see the tree. You got to see the fruit. And I don't think you make those judgments quickly. Bible warns us against judging something quickly. But it also says that by your fruit you'll know them. You have to watch them a few seasons. But we had an individual that Pam and I were taken back by a statement this individual made. We both felt they were always volunteering to do things, and we just felt like there was really the core directive was they wanted attention more than just really helping the church. Because I noticed the type of things they would volunteer for. And I think the straw that broke the camel's back is when the person made the statement, I used to be on the platform in a church I was in, and now all I do is just teach children. That went through me like a knife. I thought, all you do is just teach children. That is probably one of the highest things you could do. But that revealed something. Oh, I need to be up where I get attention. Now, you know, don't gasp for breath and say, oh my goodness, the examples he uses. We all have these things within us. Maybe you're not a person that's motivated by desire of attention. Maybe yours is self-centeredness. Maybe you're one that's self-consumed, or there's various directives that there can be. But I want to ask you today, what is your directive? What is it that's motivating you? I have written here, you can only hide your heart so long it will come out. We reveal our heart in many ways. Christian, as you grow in wisdom, you'll begin seeing this in people. As you grow in wisdom, you'll begin seeing people reveal what they're about. I said a few minutes ago that I believe churches are packed with people who have never really taken the journey to surrender. The promises of God. You've got to get this. The promises of God. The favor of God. The blessing of God. The packed promises of benefit from God are to the surrendered Christian. Many say, well, I came to the Lord, and I thought that, and this can even be tainted, I thought in Psalms 1 it said he'd give you favor. I've been serving the Lord for 20 minutes, and I can't believe he hasn't blessed me. That's just about the mentality. It's in walking with God. It's when going the journey to surrender, when we come to the place where God can trust us with some gifts. We've dealt with our heart issues. I'm not going to give my grandson a shotgun when he's 5 years old. He has to learn to use that gun. He has to know. And people will often immaturely and sincerely ask God, give me gifts, give me this, give me this. And they haven't got a clue how to use it, because if God gives you a gift and you're rooted in self-centeredness, what are you going to use that gift for? To get attention. You're going to misuse that gift. Sometimes when God withholds a gift from us, he's doing us a favor. Some of you men that want to go in the ministry, can I give you just an open, honest example? I could not figure out at 23 years old why God wasn't putting me in full-time pastoring. I was that arrogant. Not intentionally, but I had pride in my heart. Pride can be a directive. I didn't understand. I thought, man, I'd go out and preach places, because I'd get asked to go out and preach places, and I'd go out and do prophecy ceremonies, seminars. And there was a lot going on in the world at that particular time, and a lot of things changing, and things, developments in Europe and in the Middle East, and I'd go out and preach, and man, I'd have people come up to me and say, man, this guy needs to be preaching all the time. And I was like, come on, Lord, why aren't you using me? I was not ready. God had to put me through seminary. Do you know what the name of the seminary was? Kroger's. Maybe yours is the base, Square D, Brands. God takes where we live, where we work. God begin. I look back, I can see seminary as clear as anything. And yes, I did get schooling when the time came and that, but the real seminary was Kroger's. When I look back, I can see as plain as anything God teaching me where he would put me in situations. One thing he did is he put me working right next to a person that was absolutely impossible to work with, that hated Christians. And I got made fun of constantly. When I say made fun of, I don't mean, oh, you going to church this week? I mean singing hymns and changing the words to perverted four-letter words and singing it just to agitate me. I look back on that. I can see that God was preparing and stretching. Let me tell you a little principle what God does. God takes you like this. And he stretches you through a situation. And he stretches and he stretches and he stretches. And the bands are popping and you're like, Lord, I can't do this. And then he lets go of you. But guess what? You don't go back to your original size. Now, it looks like you're losing ground sometimes when you come back, but you don't go back. And then he'll wait and let you rest and give you time. Then he'll stretch you again. But over the period of 4 or 5 years, you'll go from this to this. I know this is true because I've seen it. If you psychologically tested me, no way in the world I should be a leader. Too many issues. I got more baggies than Samsonite. But God stretches us and he develops us and he takes the weak things to confound the wise. But the key to that is dealing with the heart issues. What's in your heart? What's your core? What's your directive? Self-centeredness. Self-promotion. God can't use us until that's dealt with. This is all through Scripture. Jacob had to wrestle. Abraham couldn't do it for him. Isaac couldn't do it for him, even though those men's names are all grouped together. Jacob had to have his own wrestling match where he wrestled all night. And wrestled all night. He was a strong-willed character, and we all are in our own way, for we're born with proud hearts. And he wrestled all night. And finally, the angel kept asking him to give in, and he wouldn't. And finally, he said, "What is your name?" And he spit it out. He said, "I'm Deceiver. I'm Jacob the Deceiver." And it says when he said, "I'm Jacob the Deceiver," something broke. And it says that God said to him, "You will no longer be the deceiver, but you will be Israel the prince." It's a wrestling match, the road to surrender. It is the best trip you'll ever take in your entire life. And I believe it's continual. I believe we're continually surrendering. I believe there's lots of infillings of God's Spirit that come with surrender, and I believe it's continual throughout our life. What's your directive? What's motivating you? Somebody said to me the other day, "Pride has many faces." That's a good statement. Pride can be our directive. Oh, we can paint it and make it look nice, but it's really pride. I don't know what's motivating you or me. I know people that are totally less motivated. I worked with a man a number of years ago. I came to the conclusion, and I don't come to that quickly, but seeing the seasons in his life and the fruit and what he produced, rather, certainly wasn't good fruit in his life, I realized that I believe the core issue with this man is that he had a totally selfish and lustful heart. And he was constantly working an angle to fulfill that lust. And unfortunately, sometimes people bring that in to the kingdom. Control can be a directive. And often it's revealed when it's tackled. We've seen over the years strong personalities God can use tremendously. The Bible's full of them. If you're here this morning, you have a strong personality. Don't you hang your head. But it's another issue to have control rooted. And the way you find that out is to tap it. I've been amazed at how vicious. I see Pam nodding. We've been through this. How vicious the sweetest people will become if there's control motivated and you tap and bother that control or take any control from them. What's your directive? What's in your heart? Take the journey. Pray the brave prayer. That's what I started with. I said, I encourage you to pray a brave prayer. Lord, show me my heart. I was desperate in my 20s. I was. I didn't like stuff I saw in myself. I was raised. I knew how this is supposed to be. I had a godly father that had a prophet's anointing. I had a mother that should be in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, listed with all the patriarchs. And I knew what this thing should be. And I did not like some things I saw in myself. And I can remember taking prayer walks over here on 450 North in desperation. There used to be a house back along Lane. They built a new house back there, but there was a house burnt back there. And I was my prayer walk. I'd walk back there to that old burnt down house and be all alone. And I can remember in desperation raising a family and saying, Lord, I don't like things that I'm feeling. I don't like this. I don't like when I'm waiting on women customers at Kroger's all day, some of the feelings I'm having. I don't like the anger that comes out of me. Lord, what's this about? Show me my heart. It's a brave prayer, but it's a wonderful, valuable journey. And if you refuse to let God show you your heart, you will go nowhere. You will plateau and you will go nowhere. And God is a gentleman. He doesn't force things on us. You can stop that journey at any time. Some people start out in the first 100 yards they do well. Maybe God deals with them first about some things that obviously need to go. And everybody around us realizes they need to go. If you're busting up things with a sledgehammer, obviously you got an anger issue, so that probably needs to go. So, you know, things that are socially acceptable to let go of. But when God starts prying around in there, maybe it's pride. And he starts prying underneath the tin, popping the rivets loose. What's under here? Oh, stop that. You can call off a journey at any time. I'm going to tell you right here now that God's a gentleman. Oh, when he gets his wrath full, you can read that in Revelation. There'll be a time he says that's enough. But God is patient and God is a gentleman. Now the devil, my friend, on the other hand, is not a gentleman. The devil will force you to do things you never dreamed you'd do. Anybody relate to that? Oh, I did things in the world. Honestly, don't say this boastful, I was third in my class at Peru. I did things that later I thought, Tom Robbins, I cannot believe you did that. You are smarter than that. The devil will bring you to do things you never dreamed you would do. Things that you thought you just plain had the brains. I don't mean that arrogantly, but I just thought I got enough brains. I wouldn't do that. I ended up doing the very things I said I would never do. Or look at that foolish person doing that. I ended up doing the exact same thing. The devil will drive you to do things you never dreamed you'd do, and you'll disappoint yourself. God is a gentleman. God will say, come along here. Let's deal with this. Let's deal with this anger here. You got a proud heart. I what? Sometimes it comes through someone else. Sometimes it comes through our spouse. It can come through your kids. Now that will rock your boat. I'm not talking about young kids speaking to you disrespectfully. I'm talking about my adult son in college said something to me one time. He came over from Minnesota, and we're like this. He shared something, how he felt. And I was like, whoa, I didn't like that very well. But when I got thinking about it, I thought, Lord, I think he's right. I think he's right. He's gotten old enough and looked back grown up, and he saw some things in me. And he told me what he thought. And when I got alone and thought about it, I thought, you know what? I think he's right. I don't want to stop on the journey. The Lord says, here's the way. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Shepherds don't drive the sheep. They lead the sheep. This journey is voluntary, and you can call it off at any time. I ain't dealing with that. Ain't nobody going to tell me that. Huh. Tell me I'm proud? Well, you got your nerve. Sometimes God's speaking through. And you know another form of pride? Don't fire me. Is when we have to hear it for ourselves from God. I have people use that on me all the time. You try to tell them something, you've patiently watched and been patient and prayed for them, and then you gently step out and say, I think you have a problem in this area. Well, I'll see if God thinks that. God's going to have to tell me that. If God tells me that, ain't nothing but pride. That's nothing in the world but pride. In other words, I won't take it from anybody. Do you know that God uses other people? And sometimes God will send you a messenger. Paul the Apostle was about as anointed as it gets as a human, I think. I guess maybe I shouldn't say that. Very anointed, we'll say. Paul the Apostle, very anointed man. Not divine, like Jesus, but a man, but very anointed. He had occasions where God spoke directly to him when he was knocked off the horse initially. But he also had the man come in the dream and say, come over into Macedonia and help us. God will speak just as powerfully through other people as he does you, but we have some people too proud to receive that. And you mentioned try to give them a little bit of instruction. That's a huge barrier in the ministry. My wife and I have talked about this a lot. That's a huge barrier in the ministry. You set somebody down and you've had your nerves upset and you've been eating Rolaids all day because this ain't easy conversation. And you finally take the brave step to talk to them about something. They say, well, if God tells me that, they don't think you know what you're talking about. Well, God can't do much with a proud heart. And I'm going to tell you something. The Lord's a shepherd, and he leads. And you can shut down that journey anytime you want to. What is your directive? What is your core directive? Let's just take a second and talk about the heart. It's nice that I said this would be two messages, because now I don't feel pressure to hurry. Your heart, what is that? We're all at different levels here. There might be someone sitting here that's new to this, and they're like, you know, what are you talking about, your heart, you know? Let's take a minute and talk about that. Good review for the rest of us. Where is it? What is it? You're a spiritual being. I changed my mind. How many people are involved there? I change my mind. We're admitting we're a Trinity all the time. We're body, soul, and spirit. We don't even realize it. In conversation, we're admitting there's more to us than just body. Little sidelight. That's why our kids are taking their life, their own life, because the school systems are telling them they're just body. I don't think we realize how serious that is. So when you've messed it up, your only alternative is just do away with it. See the trick of the devil? Suicide's higher among teens than anything else, because the school systems are telling them they're just body. They're doing away with the spiritual aspect. See, we come along spiritual and say, oh, but your body can be forgiven. Your heart can be forgiven. Your body can be renewed. You can start over. But see, when you've been told you're just body and then you ruin it with drugs, or you've got so much guilt from all the early age sex you've had, we might as well just end our life. Don't go there. You got to tell your kids, you're a trinity. You're a trinity. Your body is soul and spirit. And you can mess up your body, and you shouldn't, and there'll be consequences to you for it, and consequences to others. But you can start over and have a clean slate, and you can be forgiven. And you can start afresh and anew and be a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away and all things become new. That's the gospel. So what is your heart? It's the core of your spiritual self. When we say, let Jesus come into your heart to the kids, we'll often say, let Jesus come into your heart. It's the core of the real you. I've often said when I taught a third grade class, I believe it was, or second grade class years ago, I enjoyed that so much. And in fact, Tom and Scott were in that class, I think, when they were little. They came into the classroom, and I had a lot of fun. I had them that morning come into the classroom, and I actually laid on top of the table in a suit, just like here. I laid on top of the table. Well, I can show you, yeah. I laid down, and I crossed my arms like you would when you're in a casket, and I was laying there, and the kids come in. I never move. I have my eyes closed, and at first they're kind of snickering, and I can hear them, and then they just start walking around the table and just looking at me. You know, I'm peeking out through my eyelashes. Well, the reason I started that way, I was illustrating to them the difference between me alive or dead. That we have a spirit. Did I look the same as I did last week, other than I was laying on the table? Yeah, you look the same. Was it the same suit? How about my face? Did my face look the same? Was my hair the same color? But the real me wasn't there. When you die, the real you is gone. If we know the Lord, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we have a spiritual self. And the core of that spiritual self is your heart, what we refer to as the heart. It's where the will is centered. Your will. It's where the will is centered. It's where passions are rooted. Remember I said, what's fueling you? What's your directive? It's where Jesus wants to rule. It's where Jesus wants to rule. Jesus wants to get really involved in us. Yes, he wants to forgive our sins. Yes, he wants to offer us salvation. Absolutely. And that's the entry door. Can't get to the Father except that way. But then it begins the journey of God dealing with our heart of hearts. Changing the will so that it's no longer, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it his way, and a joy to do it his way. Joyfully doing his will because the heart was changed. It's where passion is rooted. It's where Jesus wants to rule. There are three scriptures, and I'm going to close for long because I'm going to make two messages out of this. Plus, it's the type of message you need to chew on it. There's a sense in which it's incredibly simple. But it's so crucial that there's a sense in which it's profound. Does that make sense? It's very, very simple, what I'm saying today, but yet there's a sense in which, because it's so crucial, that it's profound. And unfortunately, many have never dealt with the hard issues. Three insightful scriptures. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. You can only trust him with it. Oh, you might see some symptoms and some things squeeze out of you that you recognize, I got a problem in this area, but who can know the heart? Why does it say that the heart is deceitful? And I'll probably use this as my closing, because I want to analyze these three verses. Did you know that the heart can hide things? This is why we need the Lord to reveal things. Do you know that the heart can actually hide things? Now, I don't have a PhD, but I have spent 31 years plus talking with people and counseling people, and I've learned some things about people. And the heart can hide things. If I can take an exoramp for a minute to give clarity to this point, this is very typical in abuse. I can't tell you the people that I have met with that I could tell by the symptoms that they had been sexually abused. And this will clarify the point. And I would say to them, is there any possibility that there's been anything inappropriate happen to you? You know, just trudging very carefully. No. Now, I know sometimes that can be denial. But I've got to know people that I really believe that the heart had hidden that. Stay with me. I really believe that the heart had hidden that. Sometimes something is so painful that your heart will hide it. And as the years passed since this event, when you were six, constant denial and stuffing it, actually the heart hides it. I remember with this particular individual years ago, as nobody attends here, I kept pushing it because I believe with all my heart this individual was sexually abused, and until that was revealed, we weren't going to go anywhere. And I said, Lord, what do I do? How do I crack this nut? How do I get this open? And God gave me a way to do it. And it was like the Spirit took over. God didn't give it to me, and then I went in with my outline. I was talking, and God allowed me to start saying the right things. I started describing an individual in our far extended family. It's no one that you know. I started describing an individual. And appropriately, I begin telling what happened to them appropriately. And it was sexual abuse. And as I was talking, this woman threw her hands to her face and said, oh my gosh. And she started shaking. And she said, that happened to me. And that example revealed to her in her heart. The blinders were taken off of her heart. The heart is deceitful above all. We're a trinity. The heart will sometimes hide things. I realize that example is of a little bit different nature, but it's a great example to illustrate what the heart is capable of doing. You can sit in church for years and have a horrible pride issue and deny it the whole time, and your heart hides it. Pray the brave prayer. Lord, show me my heart. I can say that with passion because I did that. And what was the result? I grabbed a guy I worked with, threw him up against the wall, and almost lost my job in a fit of anger. But it revealed. I went away from that saying, Lord, I've destroyed my testimony. I cried and cried. I destroyed my testimony. What is this about? Oh, we're getting somewhere now. What is this about? I had to own it because I did it. And I had to humble myself. Brokenness is a key. That's another message. And go to my fellow employees and say, you know that I profess to be a Christian. You know I'm planning to go into the ministry. You know I go around and speak in churches and lead a Bible study in my home. I'm sorry that I disappointed you. Because, the buzz was everywhere. Did you hear what Tom Robbins did? He got enough of so-and-so, and he grabbed and threw him up against the wall, and he's going to lose his job. The journey is painful. Be brave enough to pray the prayer. That sexual abuse story I told you is a good one to illustrate it, because I believe that as strong as that hiding was with that sexual story, As strong as that sexual abuse story, as strong as that hiding was, that I'm showing you that the heart has that capability. How could you totally forget an event like that? Because your heart is deceitful, and your heart can hide it. And sometimes, especially, and it's a different type of thing, but sometimes, especially if something's so painful. But I want to say, too, there can be difficult sins in our life that our heart will hide. And if we're going to grow in ministry, we have to say, and a lot of you want to be in leadership, and I think that's awesome. We have to have the courage to say, Lord, reveal it. And then don't hit the off switch every time somebody tells you something, for heaven's sakes. God will speak directly to you. But he'll also speak just as powerfully through others that love you. I had a district superintendent get up at a pastor's conference one time, and he wanted to talk about guys' hearts being pure as pastors and how important that was as leaders. And one of the first things he said is, he said, listen to your wife. We all looked up. He said, she knows you best. Now, if you're married, unfortunately, somebody just slamming you all the time, that's a whole other issue. But he said, those of us who are in loving marriages, if you've got a spouse that keeps telling you the same thing, maybe they see something you don't, and you can be in denial about it for years. You ain't going to grow. I'm going to tell you something. The pearl of great price is worth every dime of it. The pearl of great price is worth every dime of it. But if you're going to buy it, and you're going to get the shine from that pearl, and you're going to get the ownership of that pearl, and you're going to get the favor that comes with owning Jesus, the pearl of great price, you've got to go the journey and let him work on your heart and do heart surgery. You've got to do it. You can call it off at any time. He's a gentleman, but he calls you to do it. Oh, I'm so proud of myself. I'm going to quit at 25-12. All right. I got a whole bunch of messages to finish. I got to finish remnant message yet. I did courageous stance, and I did radical obedience, and I did blind faith, but I haven't done joyful sacrifice. And stop it. But I want to finish this one too. There's more here. These are powerful. This next verse, Proverbs 20:27, it's cool. The spirit of man is a candle to the Lord. I love that verse. I'm tempted to go, but I'm not going. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, thank you for the awesome privilege of sharing your word. Lord, I want to thank you for how life-changing your word is. I feel it as I'm speaking. I feel it. I remember it in my own life, how life-changing your word has been in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of many here. Lord, help us to go the distance and pray the brave prayer, Lord, show me my heart. Lord, I'm tired of playing games. I think that prayer needs to be prayed by a lot of church people. Lord, I've spent time with people in full-time ministry that I'd go home and say to my wife, they don't know their heart. They got to get connected here. They got all kind of issues here. And it's even dangerous. You know, we can say, boy, we want to be in the ministry. We want to be in the ministry. And we're blessed with a lot of people like that. But it can even be dangerous going to the ministry. If we don't have our self-centeredness worked out and we really want attention, and that can be dangerous. It can be dangerous to the body of Christ. We've seen ministries destroyed by people that were proclaiming to be led of the Spirit and proclaiming to be guided of the Spirit, and they never dealt with any of their issues. Now, Lord, we know you use us in the process, but we need to be in the journey, not in denial. So I would ask, Lord, that you'd talk to our hearts. These are sensitive issues. But, Lord, we refuse to play games. We want to deal with those things. Lord, guide us this week. Watch over the church. Be with Pam and I as we take a couple days out to Oklahoma. Give me the message for next Sunday. I'm supposed to finish this one next week or whatever week it is. I ask your guidance. Watch over us. Now may the Lord bless and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. You're dismissed.